at home and intensive care hotline. I want to welcome you to another live stream today. Today's live stream is about my mother has been in intensive care for 8 weeks on a ventilator with a tracheostomy. Can she go home? Well, this is a question we get all the time, and I would be able to replace my mother to my father, my spouse, my brother, my sister, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law. I could replace that with any other family relation, really. Could replace it with my son, my daughter, you know, and it's quite a common scenario we are seeing across the board, and we have been seeing for many years now, been seeing it for over 20 years now. And if that is a question that you have in your mind, I can tell you that there is a solution for that, and that's what I want to talk about today. I want to welcome you to the live stream, and I want to welcome you to this video, and I want to thank you for joining the live stream and for joining and for putting your questions forward so we can do those live stream and elaborate on your questions. Just very quickly, type your questions in the chat pad as we go along. I want to keep it to about half an hour because I am conscious of your time, especially if you have a loved one in intensive care. You probably have better things to do, but you can also watch this when it goes as an upload on YouTube once we're done here with the live stream. Very briefly, what makes me qualified to talk about this topic today? I am a critical care nurse, intensive care nurse with over 20 years international experience. I have worked in 3 different countries, and I have worked for over 5 years as a nurse unit manager in intensive care. And I also have many years and almost another decade of experience with intensive care at home. And I set up my own service, intensive care at home, where we are providing this very service for patients to go home from intensive care to a home care environment with intensive care nurses 24 hours a day. The service that we're currently running is predominantly in Australia, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane on the East Coast, but we're also going into country Victoria, country New South Wales, Adelaide, Perth, all over the country, really. And we're having so many inquiries also from the United States. Now, intensive care at home services have been around for over 20 years now. They originally started out in Germany in the late 1990s, and I was part of it then in Germany. I was pioneering the service then with a group of people. I can't take credit for the original idea, but I was working with an amazing group of people where we rolled it out in Germany, and now I've been rolling it out with my team, of course, here in Australia. So let's dive right into, and also as part of that, you know, I've got decades of experience with all of that, and as part of that, I also run an organization, intensivecarehotline.com, where we consult and advocate for families in intensive care all around the world and deal with issues such as the one we want to discuss today. Today, my mom's been in ICU for 8 weeks on a ventilator with a tracheostomy. Can she go home? And again, I could replace my mom with my dad, my brother, my sister, my spouse, my son, my daughter. It comes in all sorts of varying degrees. But the common issue is, what they all have in common is, they are stuck on a ventilator in intensive care for, you know, let's just say 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 3 months. Time goes on. You know, I've seen patients in ICU for over 18 months because they are ventilator dependent with a tracheostomy, and they can't go anywhere because the only way to take those patients home is on a ventilator with a tracheostomy with intensive care nurses 24 hours a day. Anything less than that simply puts their lives at risk. So let's look at how you could end up in a situation like that, so you understand the pathway, the trajectory, and also when is it time for you to look at services like intensive care at home. You know, if someone goes in intensive care, you're certainly not looking at a service like intensive care at home day one. Your goal, if you have a loved one in intensive care, should always be to get out as quickly as possible if your loved one is on a ventilator, whether it's BiPAP, CPAP with a mask, or whether it's with a breathing tube. The goal is to have that ventilator removed as quickly as possible so your loved one can progress on out of intensive care onto a hospital ward, onto a hospital floor, and get on with their lives. That should always be the ultimate goal. Now, reality is, you know, some patients in intensive care can't come off the ventilator and the breathing tube or the endotracheal tube, and then they end up with a tracheostomy. Now, once again, this should only be temporarily. A tracheostomy should be a vehicle, a piece of equipment that should help your loved one to get off the ventilator, have the tracheostomy removed, and then leave intensive care, go onto a hospital floor, a hospital ward, maybe go into rehab and go home. That should be the ultimate goal. However, there are some critical illnesses that inevitably lead to long-term ventilation and long-term tracheostomy. And there might be an inability to wean off, or there might be a situation where weaning can take weeks, months, and then you should definitely look at home care. Other things you need to consider is someone ideally should be off inotropes or vasopressors or vasodilators, intravenous vasopressors, intravenous inotropes, intravenous vasodilators before they can go home. It might be a little bit too risky to do that, so they should be as stable as, patients should be as stable as possible before they embark on a journey home, right? Other situations where you might look at intensive care at home is if your loved one is continuously BiPAP or CPAP dependent without a tracheostomy, without a breathing tube, if they need BiPAP or CPAP just with a mask, but and they can't come off it. So that's another situation where you want to consider intensive care at home services. Other situations where you might want to consider intensive care at home services is if your loved one has regular seizures, right? We're doing a lot of seizure management at home. Seizures, especially gromal seizures or tonic-clonic seizures, lead inevitably to an unstable airway. And who manages an unstable airway? An unstable airway is, generally speaking, managed by an intensive care nurse, as long as people don't need intubation, okay? So also how are seizures managed? Seizures are managed, again, with doctors and nurses, with often medications. So not the only way to manage a seizure, but it's one of the ways. And especially when it comes to, again, gromal and tonic-clonic seizures, you want to use those nursing skills, you know, to use benzodiazepines and other medications, but predominantly unstable airway management. So again, I could also, you know, the original question was, my mum's been in ICU for 8 weeks on a ventilator with a tracheostomy, can she go home? And I probably could have also said, she's been in ICU for 10 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. You know, the reality is that not everybody knows about intensive care at home straight away when they have a loved one in intensive care long term, right? Sometimes it takes time to do their research. ICUs want to stay in control. You know, they're not necessarily telling you about intensive care at home. For them, it's easier to say, oh, you know, let's just stop life support, let's just stop ventilation and let your loved one die because it's quote unquote in their best interest, which, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, who doesn't want to live even if they are on a ventilator with a tracheostomy, especially if they can go home? So, you know, so it's, you know, you could contact us at 8 weeks, you could contact us even at 6 weeks, you could contact us even earlier, and we can advise what is the next best course of action. You know, the reality also is that, you know, if your loved one needs intensive care at home, we won't be able to set it up just overnight. We need a little bit of preparation time. You need to make sure you've got the finances, or the finances are in place. And I'll talk about the finances as we go along today. So you have an understanding how a service like intensive care at home can be financed without you being out of pocket. And I can tell you, none of our clients are out of pocket, right? So that is really important for you to know. And I will dive into the financing and funding side of things for intensive care at home services as we go along. So as I mentioned, the inability to be weaned off a ventilator is often the trigger point where someone needs or can have intensive care at home rather than spending many weeks, many months in intensive care in order to be weaned off the ventilator. Imagine this: intensive care can't provide any quality of life. Intensive care is great when it comes to saving lives. Intensive care is great when it comes to dealing with critical illnesses, but the long-term care for an intensive care patient, if they need ventilation and tracheostomy, intensive care is not the right place. It's a very sterile place. It's a place where there's too many bugs, too many other patients with infections, especially nowadays with COVID. You certainly want to escape that place as quickly as possible and move to higher ground, so to speak, move to a place, to an area where there are no infections, and that can only be at home, really. Okay, so also I should say, if your loved one is in intensive care and has been weaned off the ventilator but quote unquote only has a tracheostomy left, they still can go home, and they, if the ICU for whatever reason can't remove the tracheostomy, if your loved one needs a tracheostomy long term, they also need an intensive care nurse 24 hours a day. Now, why do I say this confidently? If you go to our website, intensivecareathome.com, and if you look up the mechanical home ventilation guidelines, there's a section on our website, the mechanical home ventilation guidelines, and that's an evidence-based researched paper that we published there, where it clearly demands that intensive care nurses with a minimum of 2 years intensive care experience need to be present at home in order to safely make the transition from intensive care to home when someone has a tracheostomy and or is ventilated. Okay, that includes non-invasive ventilation such as BiPAP or CPAP, just with a mask. And again, just as I mentioned, especially also when it comes to seizure management at home, there's often also an intensive care nurse needed 24 hours a day. So that sort of gives you a bit of an idea. And when you have a loved one in intensive care, you know, it almost sounds like an insurmountable obstacle to get someone home from intensive care directly. And as I said, your goal shouldn't necessarily be to use intensive care at home. Your goal should be get your loved one off the ventilator, get them out of intensive care to a floor or to a hospital ward, and then get them home. You know, we don't need any involvement there whatsoever. Where we come in really is if patients can't go anywhere else but to stay in intensive care indefinitely, that is where we come in from intensive care at home and make the transition from the ICU to a home care environment. So what does that look like? So it looks like, you know, we need to set up your home care environment, and, you know, we need a hospital bed, we need a couple of ventilators, we need a couple of suction machines, a couple of monitors, a special care bed, probably a hoist depending on how mobile your loved one is. That can be a seating hoist, it can be a portable hoist, you know, need potentially a wheelchair. Again, a lot of it depends on the mobility of your loved one. There's a number of things we need, but we've done this many, many times. And, you know, you need a nebulizer machine, you need spare suction machine, spare tracheostomy tubes, you need a resuscitation bag, you need dilators, tracheal dilators, you need dressings, you need saline. There's a number of things that need to happen and need to be in place before you can go home, just on an equipment side of things. But other things that need to be in place is, of course, a critical care nursing team, an intensive care nursing team that can help taking your loved one home 24 hours a day, so they're not bouncing back into intensive care, because that would defeat the purpose of the whole exercise. So before even looking at a team, you also need to make sure that finance is in place. And I'm predominantly now talking about our audience, in Australia, and I will talk about our audience in the US in a minute. Let's just start with our audience in Australia in particular. For anyone that's under the age of 65, the NDIS might be an option. The National Disability Insurance Scheme might be an option, or is an option, because most of our clients get funding through the National Disability Insurance Scheme, NDIS. And they pretty much fund the intensive care bed at home, right? Other funding bodies that fund the intensive care at home is, for example, the TAC in Victoria, the Transport and Accident Commission. Other organizations that fund intensive care at home is the DVA, the Department of Veteran Affairs. And at times we are also receiving funding through hospitals directly. No matter what obstacles you're facing, the most important thing is that you get the ball rolling. Now, just quickly sticking with the NDIS, part of what we do is also we provide specialist support coordination through the NDIS. What that means is a specialist support coordinator is the one that advocates with you and on your behalf to the NDIS to get the funding that you need in order to leave intensive care. Okay, and again, the NDIS has a pathway there. And if you need the NDIS package to leave intensive care, you should definitely get in contact with us and we can map out the first step. You can meet our specialist support coordinator and then we can, get the ball rolling. I should also say that, what's very important here is when it comes to the funding argument, an intensive care bed costs around $5,000 to $6,000 per bed day. That basically means 24 hours of intensive care costs $5,000 to $6,000 in a hospital. And it's, here in Australia, it's, $5,000 to $6,000 Australian dollars. And my research has shown it's $5,000 to $6,000 US dollars in the US. And in the UK, I believe it's anywhere between $3,000 to $4,000 British pounds. But you can already see that there is a business model, right? It's not only a health model. Of course, it's a health model first and foremost, but it's also a business model where you can tap into the weaknesses of the healthcare system. Why would anybody occupy an intensive care bed for weeks, for months on end? And it's an intensive care bed is the most expensive bed in a hospital, the most sought after bed in a hospital. Why would anybody occupy that bed if there's another option, especially an option that families want, that clients want, right? Where you can cut the cost by half. It's a win-win situation for everyone, right? So you need to think on an economic level as well. As much as this is an emotional affair too, in terms of, you wanting to take your loved one home, that's very much based on emotion, very much based on family values, on things that you and your family believe in, you also need to argue on an economic level, on a business case level, because the hospitals will respond to that as well. And the hospitals will not so much respond to that you're cutting the cost of an intensive care bed by half. The hospital will respond to that you're freeing up the most sought after bed in a hospital, which is an intensive care bed. So again, it's all about creating win-win situations and providing it in such a light, or presenting it in such a light to funding bodies, right? And it doesn't matter whether, again, it's the NDIS, the TAC, the DVA, or even private health insurances, right? Private health insurances have a big interest in cutting the cost of an ICU bed by 50%. Of course they do, right? Again, it's about the business model and it's about providing that win-win situation for everyone, for the funding body slashing the cost of an ICU bed by 50%. For you, the win is to finally leave intensive care and take your loved one home. And for the hospital, the win is freeing up the ICU bed that is the most sought after and in-demand bed in a hospital. So it's all about the win-win for everyone. Now, next. How quickly can it then happen to go home? Well, once funding is organized, we'll help you to organize the equipment and then we'll help you to get a team together, right? To hire a team of critical care nurses that can continue working with your loved one at home and continue the same care and treatment that they were getting in intensive care, simply at home. And that's all doable, that's all possible, right? And I think more and more people are waking up to the fact that it's absolutely possible. And just because intensive care units think the only two ways to leave intensive care is A, to go to a hospital ward or hospital floor, or B, to die, that's not good enough. There is a third proven option. Millions of hours of intensive care at home have been delivered predominantly in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, but also now in Australia. So, you know, nobody can say that this wouldn't work. And we certainly know how it works, and we know how to set it up, and we know how we can help you. Now, also another complicating factor in this current environment, we are in November 2021. Obviously, one of the most complicating factors at the moment is COVID. And again, it doesn't matter whether we are in Australia, in the US, in the UK, or anywhere else. A lot of families are locked out of intensive care, meaning because of COVID restrictions means often intensive care units limit the visitation time, or they don't have any visitation time at all. And they sort of say to families, well, you got to get on FaceTime, on Zoom, or on WhatsApp to see your loved one. Now, again, if you can use our service intensive care at home, you can go home. You can eliminate some of those issues, right? And they're not issues lightly to take, because you want to see your loved one and you want to be around your loved one. And intensive care units are making it incredibly difficult at the moment. Now, for some of you watching today also, you know, you may have a loved one in intensive care with COVID pneumonia, COVID ARDS. They might already have a tracheostomy. And therefore, it's going to be very difficult for you, A, to probably visit, but also B, get them home or see the light at the end of the tunnel, because there is prolonged ventilation weaning. Now, ICUs are full at the moment all around the world. So again, you need to keep the pressure back on the hospital and say, look, here is the service intensive care at home. We want to go home. Also, we can help you free up your bed rather than staying in intensive care for another few weeks or another few months. You certainly don't want that. So you got to look at the environment and at the dynamics at play. And you got to work with them, you know, you got to take advantage of them almost, you know. And the COVID environment, as far as I can see, is not going away anytime soon. I hope it's going away. But, you know, as of November 2021, I can't see COVID just dissolve in air. It's not going away, unfortunately, anytime soon. Despite vaccinations, it's going to stay. And unfortunately, it will clog up ICUs for some time to come. And you got to be prepared, and you got to be one step ahead, and you got to also understand what hospitals want. What do hospitals want? They want ICU beds. And if your loved one can't come off a ventilator, you know, your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, your spouse, your child, your son, your daughter, you know, nephew, niece, aunt, uncle, you should be looking at intensive care at home. Now, I quickly want to talk about to our US audience as well. Now, we have so many inquiries from America, and I do apologize that we can't help people in America yet. We're simply very busy here in Australia, and you will see, and you would have seen a US phone number on our website, intensivecareathome.com. And, you know, at least we can talk to people, and we can, you know, we might be able to point them to some service providers in some areas in the US. But we don't know of many. It's a very specialized skill. Most nursing services have no idea where to start. You know, they work more with the general nursing skills at home, you know, but they're not really specialized in intensive care at home. It's a very unique skill. And it can be very difficult to pull off if you don't know what you're doing. And again, that's where I think we come in. We believe we do know what we're doing. And that includes when hiring a team, which is one of the most challenging parts, because you gotta, you know, as much as you need the intensive care nursing skills, you also need a team that gels very well with you, with your family, with your loved one. You know, you need the right people in your own home. There is no question. There's no two ways about it that you need the right people in your home working with you. Otherwise, it's doomed to fail, right? It's also important for you to understand and to know that you might, you know, you might have those questions. What does it look like at home? Will it be the same than intensive care? And I can tell you from experience, no, it will be anything but, because you will be in control. You and your loved one will be in control what you want, what routine you want to have. It's not like in a hospital where at 10 o'clock every day we do the same thing. It's your job at home to guide us what you want to do next. Also, given that we're sort of coming a little bit closer to wrap this up today, I also encourage you to type in your questions now in the chat pad so that we can get to them before we wrap up today's video. So, you know, I really tried to condense the steps to going home in this video. It's easy, but it's not simple, or the other way around. It's simple, but not easy. The steps are clear, right? But it's still a bit of a job for everyone involved in setting it up, you know, and there needs to be goodwill from all parties. And that can sometimes be one of your major obstacles. Despite the hospitals wanting empty beds, they often don't want to deal with an external provider. You know, it's a headache for them to deal with it. It's often much easier for them to say, oh, well, let your mom die. You know, it's quote unquote in her best interest. Well, we know nothing could be further from the truth. So you need to put your foot down very early on, making sure that you know that they know you want everything done for your loved one. And if you're finding that to be a struggle, you know, you should contact us straight away. And you should also check out intensivecarehotline.com, where we provide consulting and advocacy for families in intensive care as well. And the advocacy is certainly a part of what we do when patients look for intensive care at home. Very important aspect of it. And, you know, you might have intensive care teams shutting your requests for intensive care at home down, but you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't let them. You should be advocating for what you want and what you need. And again, that's where we can help you with, because we know how intensive care units tick. We know what they want. We know what they don't want. And they certainly don't want families to be in control. But we are all about putting families in control of their destiny for their loved one. Okay. So, you know, the other thing that I wanted to quickly talk about, sometimes we have inquiries where people come to us and they say, after, you know, my loved one's been in ICU for 3 days and they're on a ventilator, can they go home? And I say, look, you know, if that's the case, it's probably, we are probably not the right organization, because, you know, it's too early to determine if after 3 days someone needs intensive care at home. We are probably more coming in on the other end, where someone has proven that they can't get out of intensive care in a hurry. Whereas in your situation, or if you're in a situation where your loved one has been in ICU for 3 days, you know, it's too early to go home. It's also more difficult for us to set it up if it's sort of short term. It can be done, don't get me wrong, but it's a bit more short term. It's a bit more difficult for us to set this up. So really, the people that I'm talking to today are predominantly people that have a loved one in intensive care for many weeks on a ventilator with a tracheostomy and the inability to be weaned off. Also, want to quickly talk about, to our US audience again, want to quickly talk about LTAC. As you might have heard me say before, I do believe that LTACs are a better version of a nursing home, and they're just a disaster area from my experience. The people that I've been talking to at LTAC, generally speaking, don't seem to have a clue what they're talking about. It's a shame that in America, often a tracheostomy leads to LTAC and people don't get a real chance to come off the ventilator as quickly as possible. Like they have in many other countries where LTACs don't exist and people stay in intensive care to have the ventilator and the tracheostomy weaning done in an environment where they have all the skills, all the expertise, all the doctors, all the nurses around to make things happen. And they don't have that skill in LTAC full stop, no matter what they say. You got to get it from the horse's mouth. I've spoken to so many people in LTAC, doctors, nurses, families, patients. It's just an absolute nightmare and an absolute disaster area. So keep focusing on intensive care at home instead, rather than going to LTAC. Now, I'm still waiting for your questions to come in. You know, I'm looking forward to answering them if you have any. If not, then I do want to wrap this up in a minute. I'll keep talking for a minute so you can type in your questions if you have any. Now, if you have a loved one in intensive care and you want to go home, go and check out intensivecareathome.com and contact us there. Oh, here's a question. Hello, my aunt is in an LTAC with tracheostomy. Hang on, before that question escapes me. Just give me a second, please. This is from Taylor. Hello, my aunt is in an LTAC with tracheostomy, shuttled from one facility to another, and they're duplicating, they're duplicating efforts and prolonging dependence. I want her off this tracheostomy. What can be done? So, Taylor, are you saying she's not ventilated? She just has a tracheostomy? Can you elaborate whether she's ventilated and tracheostomy, or just tracheostomy and she's been weaned off the ventilator already? Now, I do apologize if you can hear some background noise. I've got the windows open and I forgot to close them. The neighbors are... I don't know, they're renovating the home. So I do apologize for the background noise. Taylor says weaned off ventilator and just the tracheostomy. Okay, great, great information, Taylor. I'll explain it to you in a minute what should be done next. Can you also share with me why you think she can't be weaned off the tracheostomy? And I'll tell you what needs to happen with the tracheostomy. So, hat swallow test, okay. And why, what was the reason for her to have the tracheostomy in the first place? Can you just tell me, did she have a stroke? Did she have COVID? She's talking. Okay, that's great. That's great. What else? Can you tell me why did she end up in that situation in the first place? Can you tell me? Coughs well. Okay, great. Coughs, talks, swallowing test. Well, COVID complications. Okay, coughs, talks, and has a swallow test. Has she passed the swallow test? Ventilator and ICU complications from COVID. Yep, okay. No stroke, no neurological complications. Yep, okay, great. Well, I would ask, and how often does she need suction? Do you know how often does she need suction? No other complications, okay. How often does she need suction? Do you know? If you can let me know how often she needs suction, then I'm sure I can point you to the next steps. All right. I assume you don't know how often she needs suction. They are negligent, but suction not often. Okay. Taylor, I would say your aunt is ready to have that tracheostomy removed, because these are the things that need to happen. She needs to have a good strong cough. She needs to be able to talk. She needs to be able to swallow. Or if they do suction twice a day, that tracheostomy, I argue, needs to come out. Needs to come out. So your aunt's brain is working. It's intact. Is she on any oxygen? Do you know if she's on any oxygen? Absolutely intact. Okay. Yeah, brain is working. And last question from my end is she on any oxygen when she's no oxygen? Okay. I argue, Taylor, that tracheostomy needs to come out. I can't see any reason why it can't come out. Those are the criteria that needs to be met. She needs to have a good strong cough, minimal suction. She needs to swallow, and she needs to be able to talk. And sometimes even when people can't talk, they have the tracheostomy removed. No oxygen, it needs to come out. Do you know the size tracheostomy she has? Most adults have a size 6, 7, 8 or 9, most adults. Sometimes it's a 6.5, 7.5, 8.5, you know, but do you know, you don't know the size. Yeah, no, that's okay, that's okay. I argue, get in there, get them going and ask them to take the tracheostomy out. Your aunt will be thanking you for the rest of her life, Taylor. Those are the criteria. The only thing that I can hear you're not 100% confident about is if she can swallow. But if her brain is intact, I argue she can swallow. The reason people often can't swallow is if they had a stroke or any other neurological issue. And that's often when people end up with a tracheostomy simply because they can't swallow. Yeah, no, go there tomorrow. Are you the power of attorney for your aunt? Can you make decisions on her behalf? She wasn't pure foods. Well, even better. Even better. Even better. Yeah, if you're the power of attorney there, have a discussion with them. And your aunt should get on with her life and not worry about the tracheostomy. I hope that's an accurate assessment, but you're a healthcare proxy. Okay, great, great. I think, well, you've got all the right to move things forward with her. If those things that you just mentioned have only been in place for a few days, you know, they may want to wait for a few more days. But if the things that you just described so vividly have been happening for the last week, I argue that tracheostomy needs to come out. The reason I asked you what size tracheostomy does she have, if they're concerned, sometimes, you know, if she has a size 8 tracheostomy, sometimes they can also go step by step, downsize the trach, maybe to a size 6, sometimes even to a size 4 before they take it out completely. So I've seen that too. So there may be several approaches, but I do believe by everything that you've shared with me, Taylor, it's time for that tracheostomy to come out, and hopefully your aunt can get on with her life, can get on to rehab or whatever she needs to do next. If you want me to, I'm very happy to have a look at your aunt's case a bit closer. If you get stuck, you can always call me. She's saying she's back to O2. They said something about reducing it from to 0.04, but not sure what that is. Yeah, I can tell you what it is, Taylor. The air that we are breathing in, room air, the air that you and I are breathing in, is 21% oxygen. Okay, 21% oxygen, and some people refer to as 0.21. Now you are saying back to O2, they said something about reducing from 0.28 to 0.24. Basically means they're reducing oxygen from 28% to 24%, which is almost room air, because room air is 21%. That should not stop her from having the tracheostomy removed. If she was on 40% oxygen, I would be worried, but 28% oxygen, that's very close to room air anyway, and O2 sats at 100%, yeah. Is she still getting nebulizers? Do you know if she's getting nebulizers? Like normal saline nebulizers? And also, do you know if she has an inner cannula, like an inner tube? You're not sure. Not sure about a nebulizer, and you're probably not sure about the inner tube. But in either case, it should not stop her from having that tracheostomy removed. That's very, very promising. Very, very promising. Yeah, not sure. That's okay. It's probably not a make or break, but she might still be on some nebulizers, and she might have an inner cannula, but it's not a make or break, because all other boxes, by the sounds of things, are ticked. You also got to keep in mind, the LTAC might want to keep her there, for financial gains, hate to say it. So you may want to, keep pushing for that tracheostomy removed so your aunt can get out of there as quickly as possible. Okay. I want to wrap this up in a minute. Taylor, did you have, or any other viewers, did you have any other questions before? It's a pleasure, Taylor. And if you need more help, just contact me on our website, intensivecareathome.com. just call me on my US number, which is 415-915-0090. That's again 415-915-0090. All right, I want to wrap this up. If you have a loved one in intensive care, go and check out intensivecareathome.com and also check out intensivecarehotline.com, where we provide consulting and advocacy for families in intensive care, also in LTAC. And I want to thank you so much for coming onto the call. If you like this video, give it a thumbs up, subscribe to my YouTube channel, hit the notification bell, and leave your comments below this video, what you want to see next, or what questions you have, or what insights you have from this video. Thanks again for coming onto this call, and there will be another live stream next week at the same time. Thank you so much. Take care.